We now present another episode in a radio series based on the world-famous BBC comedy success, Steptoe and Son.
With Harry H. Corbett as Harold.
You frighten my horse and you get my wheels right along the side of your rolls, mate. You might do a day's work. What do you expect me to do? Doff me hat and curtsy? You off to the golf course, are you? You're a bit late. It's 2:30. Have you had a hard day?
Parasite. Then somebody do all the work and cop in all the profits. Just like my old man. Another rotten Tory.
And Wilfred Bramble as Albert.
Delusions of grandeur, that's what it is. Them long-haired intellectual layabouts filling him up with daft ideas all about men being equal. And now he's sticking all them posters over my house. Let's go with Labour. Yeah. I don't believe the running of the country to them has been trained for it. Now, let's get that locked down. This lot up. Vote Carter Brown, your Conservative candidate.
And this week, my old man's a Tory.
Oh, God. Look at that. Vote for Carter Brown. I'll murder him. Well, that lot's coming down for a start. Where are you? Come out here, you horrible, loathsome little lord. I know you're in there. Where are you hiding? Come out! Come out!
Do you want me, Harold?
What have you done with my Vote Labour posters?
I've torn them down and torn them up and hung them up in the carsy.
Did you leave my posters alone? I'll bash your head in with this golf club. Come here. Come here.
That's it. That's it. Go on. Use violence. Typical. That suits you, that does. That's the picture they ought to see. The local commissar clubbing and canvassing for votes. That's better.
You are quite right. I'm sorry. I don't need cudgels to back up my beliefs. I shall be able to demolish any one of your arguments by sheer intellectualism.
That'll be the day.
I have a built-in advantage over you. Because, you see, whereas my beliefs is sincerely held, the result of years of observation, deep thought and rationalisation, your particular brand of squalid, nasty, anti-social opinion are directly attributable to a basic desire to get right up my shonker.
Yeah, get stuff.
Oh, hello. Oh, hello, hello. Here's the public school coming out in him again.
Don't you try to tell me why I think the way I do. I've been a Tory ever since I left school.
When you was 8, wasn't it? I used to poke you up the chimneys, didn't I?
No, they didn't. And I didn't leave school until I was 10.
Compulsory education to the age of 10? Oh, the mind boggles. Oh, Father, I really fail to understand why you chose this profession. I mean, surely with an education like that you've got behind you, it was a toss-up between the church, the army or the Foreign Office. I mean, just think, you might have been Britain's ambassador at the United Nations. We'd have been at war with a lot of them by now.
You lot make me sick. You want it all on a plate, don't you? You don't want to work. You want the government to do it all for you.
Well, you ain't done so bad out of us. You wouldn't have had a set of choppers if it hadn't been for my party. I'd still be cutting up your food for you. Oh, look at the stuff you've had for nothing. Since 1948, blood, air, teeth, glasses, bones, and a backside full of drugs. Oh, blimey, you would have been dead years ago if it hadn't been for us. That is the only thing I've got against the Labour Party, that is. lying people like you. You ain't got two halfpennies to rub together, and it goes around shouting, hands off the stock exchange.
Well, I'll tell you, if you help to put them in our council, you'll want your brains tested. 5 minutes after they finish counting the votes, the rates will be put up. You mark my words.
Oh, well, if that is the level that the argument is going to descend to, I'm afraid I cannot be bothered. I'm going indoors.
Don't like to hear the truth, do you?
I would be grateful if you would in future refrain from putting these ludicrous slogans all over the house. I mean, it is not customary to see votes conservative plastered all over the Labour Party committee rooms.
What did you say?
You heard. As chairman of the local party, I have offered these premises as the committee rooms for the ward meeting this evening. And my offer has been gratefully accepted.
Harold, I'm being serious now.
Oh, good.
A business firm should never associate itself with a political party. It's very dangerous. You divide your custom right down the middle. You won't get any more conservative junk. You'll just be left with Labour junk. And everybody knows conservative junk is better quality than Labour junk.
Discrimination! That is exactly what my party wants to put an end to. We want to see the day come when all junk is equal, when no one can tell a man's background from what he throws into his dustbin.
And if you're so worried about our public image, Father, you could go a long way to improving it yourself.
How?
By abluting yourself occasionally.
Eh?
Abluting yourself. Wash yourself. Just look at your neck. It's disgusting.
I washed my neck this morning.
Well, take your muffler off next time. And don't just loosen it and move it up and down. I mean, Ted Heath wouldn't like that, would he? He washes himself. Now run along. I've got a lot to do, and I ain't got much time to do it in. I want this to be the best meeting they've ever had. A thing not to be missed. I've got political ambitions, Dad. See, it's wide open for a man of ideas and vision to go in there and galvanise them. I've noticed, Dad. They're listening to me. The agent noticed me too. Oh, he was very impressed when I expounded my thoughts about Kashmir.
Well, Gordon Bennett, you should know something about it. We've been collecting it for years.
I'm not talking about the pullovers. I'm talking about the country.
Oh, of course, you know it all, don't you? Everybody's an idiot except you, aren't they? I've been listening to you for years. Chat, 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 chat. Never done anything, just chat. 38 years sitting on your backside moaning. That's all you've ever done.
I've been biding my time. Fame achieved before 40 is often a transitory thing. I mean, look at General de Gaulle. He didn't push himself. He just waited, as I have waited, sitting in his uniform at Colombele des Deux Exilases. So one day, he received a call, and he was off.
There's a bit of a difference between General de Gaulle and Corporal Steptoe.
Hitler was only a corporal, and Napoleon.
Corporals may get on abroad, mate, but they don't get on in this country.
And why not? Because we's riddled with class distinctions. I've been fighting against them all of my life. Why shouldn't a rag and bone man rise to the highest office in the land?
Well, if this country goes on the way it's been going, we'll all be rag and bone men. When are you going to make this bid for power?
Oh, well, I mean, it's all got to be done gradually, hasn't it? I mean, I've made a start, chairman of the local ward. The next step is to be adopted as prospective Labour candidate for the council.
You on the council? Now, that's a good idea. Now I see what you're after. Well, you get my vote.
You vote for me. Change your politics.
Politics? Who's talking about politics? Don't kid me. I'm your old man. I can see your little game. You on the council, we'll make a fortune.
I don't understand.
All them demolition contracts, pulling down the lampposts, ripping up the tram lines, all that scrap metal, lead off the roofs, and there's no end to it. If you can get on the council, you're in. It's better than being a mason.
Like they said about commercial television, it's a license to print money.
I'm sorry, Father. My only motive for entering into political life is so that I may serve the community to the best of my ability without fear or favour.
Oh, it's touching, this childlike purity shining out of his eyes. A right little Joan of Arc. They love you, Harold. They'll carve you up. People don't like do-gooders. It embarrasses them, makes them feel inferior. Mark my words. They'll be lodging the faggots under you within 3 months.
We shall see. I've got to be adopted as candidate first. And that's one of the items on the agenda tonight. The agent's coming round. You see, it's not just an ordinary meeting tonight. It's more of a vetting committee. They know my dialectical capabilities. And tonight, they'll be clocking me for a bit of grace and elegance, a bit of the old savoir faire. It is very important.
It's changed a bit since my day. When I was a lad, Labour MPs only needed 3 things. A red tie, a flat hat and a pair of nail boots.
Oh, God. Times has changed, Dad. We're a classless party now. We realised years ago that we cannot walk into the conference chambers of the world in flat hats and hobnailed boots. I mean, obviously, the Prime Minister can't go into a Swiss bank with a backside hanging out of his trousers and say, lend me £1,000,000. You see, Dad, I'm not interested in making a few bob in being on the council. That is just a stepping stone. I've got to get myself a reputation. I've got to know important people.
Yeah.
And I shall start by holding political soirees here. I shall invite MPs round for working breakfasts. Cabinet ministers, the intellectuals. Oh, yes, within a year I could turn this place into a fashionable salon. A place where fine minds gather to exchange ideas. There'll be choice wines, superb food, elegant conversation. Theories will be propounded and decisions will be made here in this very room. It'll become such a powerhouse of intellectual thought and political thinking that people like C.P. Snow and Malcolm Muggeridge will be busting a gut to get in. I see smart gatherings will be more like the pre-war Clevedon set, Lady Astor's place, the weekend house parties, the...
Oh, yeah, there'll be plenty for them to do here. Table tennis?
Yeah.
Rat hunting? I can see you all now, going for long tramps across the yard, deep in intellectual conversation and horse manure.
I don't know why I waste my time. You'll never understand me. I don't think there's another father inside the whole world with less rapport than us. I'm going to get washed and changed.
Yeah.
But I must get everything set up for the meeting. And you might as well resign yourself to the fact that by the end of the evening, I shall be the candidate for the Ravensbury ward.
He sounds more like a candidate for the psychiatric ward.
I think that's it. Yes, yes. 8 chairs should be plenty. Ashtrays, oh yes. And a buffet. The sandwiches. Sausages on sticks. Vol-au-vent. Biscuits with pilchards on. Very tasty. Nothing expensive, but in good taste. Oh, Dad. Oh, I'm glad you put your suit on.
Well, I wouldn't like to let you down, son, in front of your new friends. Especially as I can see it means so much to you.
Thank you, Dad. I appreciate that.
Gordon Bennett, who's that hanging up on the wall?
That, Dad, is a picture of our leader. That's Mr. Wilson, the Prime Minister.
Prime Minister? Head of the country with a Mac on. Doesn't he ever go out unless it's raining? My
I've never seen him without one. I suppose it's to cover up those rotten suits he wears.
I shall just ignore you, Father. I do have a lot to do.
I see you got your raincoat on too, indoors. And a pipe. A bungalow in the Scilly Isles and you'll have it all, won't you?
Oh, that'll be them now. Good evening, comrades. Do come in. Good evening. Good evening. Good evening, Mr. Stonelake. I'm so glad you could come to our meeting. I know how busy you agents is.
Well, it's a very busy time campaigning, but it's so important we should decide on the right candidate.
Oh, quite. I do so agree. Would you all care to step this way?
Thank you.
Would you all care to step this way?
This is my father. Dad, this is Mr. Stonelake, the agent.
What for? Raincoats? He's not going to make us all wear them, is he?
How do you do, Mr. Steptoe? This is indeed a pleasure.
Shake hands with Mr. Stonelake, Dad.
No.
Perhaps I should mention, my father does not share our beliefs.
Oh? Well, everybody to his own point of view. Wouldn't do for us all to think the same, eh? I may not agree with what you say, but I will defend with my life your right to say it, eh? What? Oh, yes, I respect everybody's point of view. Why, some of my best friends are Tories. Yes, well, shall we begin?
Would you care for some refreshment before we begin, comrades?
I don't think so, Mr. Steptoe. Oh. I think we really should get on. Afterwards, perhaps, if that's all right with everybody.
Yes, I think we ought to get on with the business of the meeting.
Oh, yes, of course. If you would care to take your seat.
Thank you, Mr.
Dean. That's it.
Is your father staying?
Yes. Well, he won't go out.
Oh, dear, most awkward. I really think you ought to have told us, Mr. Steptoe.
I'm terribly sorry, but I'm sure he won't interfere. He's not really politically minded, being a Conservative. But he's not actually a member of the party. In fact, the last time he voted, it was for Baldwin.
Well, we'll see how it goes. Carry on. You just conduct the meeting as you would normally. I'll just sit here and observe, so to speak.
Good evening, comrades. I declare this meeting open. And the first item on the agenda is the reading of the minutes of the last meeting. Do you have the minute book, Miss Frobisher, please?
Yes, of course. Comrade.
Hello. You're all right there, Harold.
Minutes of a meeting of the Ravensbury Ward Committee on Thursday, the 17th of September, held at number 32, Oil Drum Lane. Those present, Harold Steptoe, Chairman, Miss Karen Frobisher, Treasurer, and Mr. Arthur Biggs.
Was that all?
Just three?
Yes. Well, we usually ask more, but, well, there was that tummy trouble going around, if you remember, and then again...
Queen's Park Rangers were at home.
Queen's Park Rangers? We had nothing to do with it.
They lost, too.
Shut up. Will you please keep quiet? Well, to be perfectly frank, I mean, this isn't a very active ward at the best of times. There is a lot of political apathy, and it is one of my aims as chairman to reverse this trend and make it a truly dynamic ward. I'll extemporise on my plans later.
If anybody can do it, I'm sure Harold... I mean, Comrade Steptoe can.
Thank you, Comrade Frobisher.
I see. Carry on.
Item one. The minutes of the previous meeting was read and confirmed as a true record and duly signed. Item two. Resolution.
Revolution?
Resolution.
Oh, I thought you were getting the bombs out.
Would you like to read a book or watch television or something?
No, I'm all right. This is much funnier. Oh, you carry on.
Mr. Harold Steptoe put forward the following resolution. The Ravensbury Ward Labour Party of the Shepherd's Bush constituency deplores the current situation existing in South Vietnam and calls upon the United States government in the Viet Cong to cease hostilities immediately, to withdraw all foreign troops from South Vietnamese soil, and to halt free elections under the supervision of the United Nations as agreed at the Geneva Convention in 1952. The resolution was seconded by Miss Karen Frobisher and was passed unanimously. Copies of the resolution were sent to Mr. Harold Wilson in London, President Johnson in Washington, Mr. Kosygin in Moscow, Ho Chi Minh in Hanoi, Mao Zedong in Peking, and Yu Fan at the United Nations. As yet, we have not received any replies. The typing of the resolution was kindly undertaken by Miss Frobisher during the lunch hour at her place of employment, Brody's Betting Shop in the High Street. The meeting was terminated at 9:05. May I have a proposal that I should sign these minutes as a true record?
Proposed.
Seconded.
All in favour?
Aye.
Mr. Chairman?
The chair acknowledges Mr. Stoneleg. From the floor.
Thank you. As the official representative of the Labour Party executive at this meeting, I am bound to say that I feel you acted rather hastily in sending this resolution to the world leaders. Official party policy on South Vietnam is quite clear. And any independent declaration such as this can only serve to embarrass Her Majesty's government.
I feel I must point out that the resolution clearly reflected the mood of that meeting.
All three of you?
Yes.
I see. Carry on.
Item two on the agenda. A report on the recent canvass undertaken in this ward. I call upon the ward secretary, Miss Brunley.
Mr. Chairman, I am pleased to inform the meeting that the canvass returns are most encouraging. In Khartoum Avenue alone, there has been a 28% swing to Labour since the last canvass.
That's most encouraging. A 28% swing. Why, if that swing was maintained throughout the country in a general election, we'd get in by over 680 seats. That is remarkable.
Very remarkable. There are only 620 seats to be contested.
Oh, yes. 620.
Carry on.
Well, I think we must agree that these results from Khartoum Avenue do reflect the effectiveness of our campaign in the ward. I mean, after all, a 28% swing.
Yes. As a matter of interest, I have the Conservative canvass figures here. Here we are, Khartoum Avenue, a 27% swing to the Conservatives, and the Liberals report a 29.5 swing to them, and even the moral rearmament candidate is looking to 20% of the vote.
That's impossible. I mean, our figures is correct. I went round canvassing myself.
What night you go round?
Monday.
Oh, there you are then, Zed cars. They'll say yes to anybody while that's on. Get rid of them.
That's not true.
I'm afraid your father is quite right. Experience will teach you not to base everything on your canvass returns. Carry on.
Item three on the agenda. The adoption of a candidate for the forthcoming council elections. May I have your nominations, please?
I nominate our chairman, Harold Steptoe. I don't think we could choose a better man. His charm, his personality, his integrity, his keenness and ability are beyond question.
Get in, Harold. It's your birthday.
Do you mind?
I nominate Harold Steptoe.
I second that.
Well, I do appreciate your confidence in me, comrade, and I would be very happy to accept the nomination.
I nominate Dr. Jeremy Stewart.
Furthermore, I do assure you that if I'm elected to the council, I will do my utmost. Pardon?
I nominate Dr. Jeremy Stewart.
Who's he?
He is the official constituency choice.
But I was given to understand that my adoption was only a formality. I mean, I've been working on my campaign.
I am sorry, Mr. Steptoe. The constituency party have reluctantly decided that they cannot endorse your candidature.
Why not?
Yes, why not? Harold is the ideal candidate for this ward. He's lived here all his life. He's grown up in it. He knows everybody. He's part of it.
Exactly. That is the trouble. How can I put this? Central office feel that... Well, let me put it this way. The population movement in the area indicates there is a growing middle-class electorate coming into the Ravensbury ward, and we feel that the cloth cap image has tended to work against us in such areas. It is essential that our candidate should have a, shall we say, wider appeal than perhaps the image that Mr. Steptoe might project.
How dare you call my son a scruff bag?
Come now, I didn't mean to infer.
He's not good enough for you. You don't want a rag and bone man.
I didn't say that.
Thank
you. You keep out of this. I will not have a choppy nose red poof coming into my house and insulting my family.
How dare you? My only interest is in winning this seat for the Labour Party. We consider that Dr. Stewart embodies everything we wish to project. He's young, a university education, respectable practice, the perfect image. This is a very vital seat, and we do not feel that we can be certain of winning it with Mr. Steptoe. It's a marginal seat, could swing either way.
I know which way your seat will swing when you get my boot up it.
This is party business, and I'd be much obliged if you'd keep out.
This is my house, and I'd be much obliged if you'd get out.
I resign. We really
can't. Can't we have a meeting with this Dr. Stewart?
No. I resign. I think Harold has been very shabbily treated.
Now, look, listen, please. Everybody, for the sake of party unity, I withdraw. I will offer my complete support to Dr. Stewart. And I will do my utmost to get him elected.
Thank you, comrade. Thank you.
Harold Steptoe, the noblest rag and bone man of them all.
The party won't forget this, comrade.
Thank you. Oh, well, comrades, if there is no other business, I declare the meeting closed. Anyone care for a banana sandwich?
No, thank you.
No, I think we'll be off. I have another meeting myself. An agent's work is never done, eh? Yes. Can I offer anybody a lift? I've got the jag outside.
Very kind.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
I thought you were magnificent, Harold. That was a tremendous thing you did in there.
Thank you, Karen.
I want you to know that whatever path you choose, you will have my complete support.
Well, what price party politics now?
What do you mean?
You soon got the old heave-ho, didn't you? So much for we're all equal. Only some is more equal than others. Disillusioned, are you?
No, of course not. No, it was a majority decision at head office, and we must abide by it.
Abide by my...
No, you don't understand, do you? It's not just a party, Dad. It's a way of life. Oh, politically naive you are.
Me? What about you? Look at him on the wall, all there, smug and snug in his raincoat. He was against the bomb when Gateskill was in. Now he's all for it.
We can't walk naked into the conference chambers of the world.
And why did you cancel the TSR2?
You cancelled it for we did for 2 years, then you brought it back again. And what about the Blue Street?
What about the Blue Street?
Yeah, well, what about it? When would you get your facts wrong, mate?
Well, what about Eastern Highway? Leaving up my friend. What about the Blue Street?
You've been listening to Wilfred Bramble and Harry H. Corbett as Stepstone and Son, with Dudley Foster as Stone Lake and Beth Boyd as Miss Frobisher. Written by Ray Galton and Alan Simpson, adapted for radio by Gail Pedrick, and produced by Bobby J.